Welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Ed Bell with you. And now, Chef Norman Van Aken gives us a word on food.
I don't want French fried potatoes, red ripe tomatoes. I'm never satisfied. I want the frim-fram sauce with the os and fade, with shafafa on the side. Shoot do 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 ya do do.
Hi, I'm Norman Van Aken, and welcome to A Word on Food. Today's word on food, oxtails. The majority of times I've enjoyed oxtails have been with the classic Cuban dish named rabo encendido. The translation is literally lit tail. This is allegedly due to the spice level in the dish. But unless I make it myself or have it in the home of another chili-loving person, the spice is mild while the flavor is great. I love the tomatoey rich stew that I've eaten since venturing into places like El Siboney in Key West years ago. I had it there again recently, and for what I could witness around me, many of the Chinese tourists who have found Key West a traveler's treasure were also tucking into it. I wonder what the translation of rabo would be in Chinese. Maybe they make a dish with oxtails like the one we were collectively demolishing at the neighborhood restaurant on Catherine Street. Certainly oxtails are cooked in various forms all over the world. I asked my daughter-in-law Lourdes's parents about how they dealt with the bony cut, and naturally I got the story of rabo. But soon we were off down a warren of forms of not only the dishes, but also the animals that make up what is generally referred to as oxtails. Soon a variety of cookbooks were on the dining room table, representing countries from all over the world. In Spain, there are stews made from the cola de vaca. This meant tail of the cow. Innocent enough, but wait, a cow is not an ox. When did it jump the fence, so to speak? The dish is made with horse as well. But really, do you think we purchase horse or oxen in the stores? Oxtail is the culinary name for the tail of cattle. It once meant the tail of an ox or steer, a castrated male. Before it is cut up, the average tail weighs anywhere from 2 to 4 pounds. It is skinned and cut into short lengths, which are better for cooking. When I asked Lourdes' mother, Gloria, how she cooked oxtails, she seemed to feel she was taking a shortcut when she shyly answered, "Pressure cooker?" But if I had grown up with her mama guiding me, I bet I would too. Pressure cookers can be fantastic in the right abuela's hands. They handle the bony, gelatin-rich meat with the right degree of gentleness, but also allow for dinner to be at the table before the cows come home. In Spain, the late cookbook author Penelope Casas wrote of an oxtail stew named rabo de toro a la Andaluza. Andalusia is a land of bulls and bullfighters. There, in Cordoba, the former capital city of the Moors, this dish flourished, and it was made with the tail of the bull. We ate bull in Barcelona. It was the tenderloin. I bet the tail would have been better. Stewed oxtail with butter beans are popular in Jamaica, Trinidad, and other West Indian cultures. Sancocho is a revered soup that often features oxtails in Colombia and elsewhere in South America. Oxtail is cooked in the traditional three-legged cast-iron skillets in South Africa. I have to wonder about three legs and a tail. But let's move on. Here in the U.S., soul cooking has prized oxtails as highly as any food culture in the world. The Flemish make stew named hotchpotch. It is typically made with just oxtails, but sometimes with pig's ears and tails, breast of beef, shoulder of mutton, salt bacon, and various vegetables. The word comes from the old French hottisson, which translates as to shake. Can I get a shake a mean tail feather out of you all? I'm Norman Van Aken, and that's my word on food.
Norman Van Aken is the author of My Key West and is also the director of restaurants for the Miami Culinary Institute and Tuyo in downtown Miami. Please tune in tomorrow morning at 8:34 on Weekend Edition to hear Adobos. And here's our South Florida Arts Beat entertainment calendar. And we welcome back today Ms. Jody Horn-Lashinsky, Assistant Director of the Broward Cultural Division. Great to have you back with us, Jody.
Well, thank you, Ed. It's nice to be back.
And I want to hear about all the excitement going on in Broward County.
Well, we've got so much going on. And first of all, Broward Cultural Division was awarded $400,000 by the Community Foundation of Broward to spearhead Broward 100, celebrating the art of community, which is a year-long celebration of Broward County's 100th anniversary. So this grant from the foundation will structure this year-long celebration and will have numerous events and activities, and that will utilize the arts to strengthen communities that build unity. And this grant is the first of its kind for these organizations and will focus on the power of art to bridge, bond, and build communities. So Broward 100 will launch in October of this year and culminate in October of 2015, which is actually the anniversary of Broward County. And we expect that the entire county will be involved in some way, shape, or form with pre-planned and sanctioned events. And if people out there in Broward are interested in becoming a sponsor or to have your event sanctioned, please email broward100@broward.org. Earlier this month, more than 100 people attended a ribbon cutting for the artwork installation of All the World's a Stage at the Susan B. Katz Theater at the River of Grass Arts Park in Pembroke Pines. Having taken her inspiration from William Shakespeare, artist Susie Edwards created a glass mosaic and sculptural ceramic artwork which enhances the front of the theater. Edwards made playful theatrical images come alive and drew her inspiration from The Wizard of Oz, The Mikado, and The World of Jazz. This public art project is a collaboration between the Broward Cultural Division's Public Art and Design Program and the City of Pembroke Pines. The Broward Cultural Council invites you to participate in an arts and cultural ideas exchange at its annual planning forum on Thursday, February 13th, which will take place at ArtServe. The event will begin with a networking reception in the art gallery at 5:30, and then the presentations will take place at 6:30 in the auditorium. And this year we have a very, very special guest. Danielle Brazil, who is the Executive Director for Arts for LA, will talk about her involvement in transitioning an ad hoc steering committee to a highly, highly visible arts advocacy organization serving the greater Los Angeles region. And the reception will open with the Dillard Center for the Arts String Quartet. Broward 100 will go through how we're going to be celebrating the art of community, and a special performance by dancer and choreographer Pablo Malco. And if you'd like to RSVP, which we would like you to do, please go to broward.org/arts, A-R-T-S. If you're looking for funds to make your arts idea a reality, on Thursday, February 6th at 7 p.m., artists and arts organizations are invited to attend a community Q&A on the Knight Arts Challenge Grant, which supports innovative ideas that can help bring our community together through the arts. You can come and meet the people behind the challenge, and you can also meet challenge winners. And this will take place at the NSU Museum of Art, Fort Lauderdale at 1 East Los Olas Boulevard. Attendees will also learn more about this grant opportunity and hopefully be inspired to apply. Applications will be accepted online through February 24th at knightarts.org. The Arts for Life Scholarship Program annually awards $2,000 scholarships to 25 graduating high school seniors in Florida who demonstrate excellence in visual art, music, dance, drama, or creative writing. The program has awarded scholarships to more than 350 gifted high school seniors. Students who are graduating from a public or private school or a home education program in Florida in the spring of 2014 are eligible to apply. The application deadline is February 1st, and the applications are available at artsforlifeaward.org/apply. So there's lots of events coming up this weekend. The Third Avenue Art District Annual Art Walk is a tradition on the first Saturday in February, where artists open their studios at no charge to the public from 6 to 10 p.m. The studios are located north of Broward Boulevard on and around Northeast Third Avenue. There is free on-the-street parking along Third Avenue and throughout the area. One can walk to several of the studios, or you can hop on the free trolley service. Now through February 1st, Shenyun 2014 takes you on a journey through 5,000 years of divinely inspired culture, a journey through which the wisdom of ancient China, the world's finest classical Chinese dancers, gorgeous handcrafted costumes and massive animated backdrops come together in one spectacular performance at the Broward Center for the Performing Arts. Also at the Broward Center, this weekend is the Kinsey Six 2014 America's Next Top Bachelor Housewife Celebrity Hoarder Makeover Star Gone Wild. I don't even know what that all means, but supposedly America's favorite Dragapalia beauty shop quartet, the Kinsey Six, is celebrating its 20th anniversary year with a new musical comedy taking up the cultural bludgeon of reality TV. In this brilliant reality TV mashup, we find Rachel, Winnie, Trixie, and Trampolina in the jungle trying their best to score at challenges that involve singing, dancing, dating, dieting, and, of course, large insects. Now through September, the Museum of Discovery and Science hosts Goosebumps, the Science of Fear, which is a 6,000-square-foot traveling exhibit that provides an experiential and holistic view of fear science, examining psychological, neurobiological, and sociological aspects of fear. If you would like more detailed cultural event information, please visit artscalendar.com, Broward's complete guide to the arts. Never miss a thing. Get there.
Special thanks to Jody Horn-Lashinsky, Assistant Director at the Broward Cultural Division. Jody, great weekend.
Thank you, and to you too.
Jazz at Mocha tonight presents the South Florida Jazz Orchestra featuring jazz vocalist and violinist Nicole Yarling. That's tonight starting at 8 o'clock at Mocha Museum of Contemporary Art, 770 Northeast 125th Street in North Miami. It's free. Bring the family. More info at mochanomi.org. Let me elaborate on the Night Arts Challenges series of community Q&A events. Other Q&A locations include this Monday at 7 o'clock at Young Arts Jewel Box at 2100 Biscayne Boulevard in Miami. South Miami-Dade Cultural Arts Center, Tuesday the 4th at 7. That's at 10950 Southwest 211th Street in Miami, way down in South Miami. African Heritage Cultural Arts Center, Wednesday, February 5th at 7. That's 6161 Northwest 22nd Avenue in Miami. And NSU Museum of Art in Fort Lauderdale, Thursday the 6th at 7 p.m. That's 1 East Las Olas Boulevard in Fort Lauderdale. More information at nightarts.org. Show me the money. We'll rebroadcast South Florida Arts Beat tonight and every Friday night at 7 o'clock on our WLRN Extra HD channel. You can tune in on your HD radio or go to our website at WLRN.org for more information. And that's today's edition of South Florida Arts Beat. We hope you enjoyed the show. I'm Ed Bell, producer and host. Our theme was composed by Mike Levine and performed by Mike and Sam Levine. Paul Leary is our online producer. Special thanks to our technical director, Andy Wagner, and our contributors today, Charles Greenfield, Bob Weinberg, Norman Van Aken, and Jody Horn-Lashinsky. Please call us. We'd like to hear from you. 305-995-2258. You can fax us your event information to 305-995-2221 or email it to us at info@WLRN.org. We'd like to hear from you. Monday at this time, Topical Currents with hosts Joseph Cooper and Bonnie Berman, Monday at 1. Have yourself a great weekend, and please keep your dial set right here to 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Until next time, Ed Bell saying bye-bye. Enjoy.